Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Kelly Cam. She's a research scientist at Michigan Tech. She's working on a study about breastfeeding infants in the UP. And here she is right now. Tell us about it. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. So I'm in the Department of Kinesiology and Integrative Physiology at Tech. And I'm running a study where we're looking at what mothers in the UP, what are they feeding their babies and how are they making those decisions? So I'm actually interested in both moms that are breastfeeding and moms that are feeding their babies formula. And moms can, as long as the moms have children under 5 years old, I'm interested in their experiences up here in the UP. And there's a companion piece with it too, where I'm also interested in talking to the providers who care for the mothers. So anybody who, as a profession, whether they're a volunteer or paid, who helps mothers make these decisions about what to feed their babies. It could be anything from medical practitioners to doulas, lactation consultants, anybody who works within the maternal care and providing information to these moms about helping to make these kinds of decisions.
Well, there it is all in a nutshell. So let me kind of reel us back to the beginning a little bit. What made you decide to do this study?
So my background is actually in maternal and child health in international situations. So before I came to Michigan Tech, I had worked in Bangladesh and in Kenya, working mostly with hand-washing behaviors of mothers in order to prevent death and disease, mostly diarrhea and pneumonia in those children. So I've always been really interested in protecting the health of mothers and babies. When my husband and I came to Michigan Tech, it became a little more difficult to travel internationally, but I'm still very interested in serving moms and babies who live in underserved populations and underserved areas. And the UP certainly meets that criteria. We are geographically isolated, and we were also medically isolated up here. And so I was interested in trying to understand what's going on with moms and starting with breastfeeding. There just is very little data about what's going on with moms up here in the UP across the board, and breastfeeding has been an interest of mine.
Well, why is it important to look at the Upper Peninsula as a sort of a focal point as opposed to, you know, Green Bay or Detroit or another major city or lower Michigan altogether?
There certainly is a lot of data that's been done on urban areas and health of all sorts of health research. Rural health in general is understudied. In terms of epidemiology, it's a population-based science. And so we need a population in order to do the research. And when your funding is not, you don't have a lot of money, you go to places where there's a lot of people in order to reach the sample sizes that you need, to get the number of people that you need in your study. And so we do have a lot of data about what's going on in urban areas, but we don't have that kind of data about what's going on in rural areas. And while some of the information may be very similar, there might be the same reasons why moms either do or don't breastfeed here in the UP as opposed to those urban areas, but there also might be very different reasons why they do. And in order to develop health programs that can meet the needs of the moms and the babies up here, we need to understand what's going on with them here and not just extrapolating data from urban areas into rural areas.
Were you surprised at all that with some of the resources that we do have up here, Northern Michigan University, Michigan Tech, the Western UP Health Department, that this kind of work wasn't done before?
No, it doesn't surprise me that it hasn't been done. There's a real growth right now at Michigan Tech with health research, and so there's movement towards that. But the health departments are generally pretty underfunded in order to do this kind of research. They're trying to deal with what they can, and they have a lot on their plates to deal with. All health departments have that issue. And up here where you have health departments that serve multiple counties, so the Western UP Health Department serves 5 counties. I was surprised to find out that there's only 2 health departments here in the UP that only serve a single county. Everything else is multiple counties that are being served by a single health department. So they're meeting the needs that they have the ability to. There just hasn't been as much, you know, I'm bringing in outside funding, hopefully, to fund this, although this project is funded by Michigan Tech and the Portage Health Foundation. So it's not surprising to me. Any rural area really is understudied.
Hmm. Well, part of your study was collecting surveys, information from moms, and also you said providers, health providers as well. And for those surveys that the individuals that were doing up until this past Friday, they could have gotten a $20 or entered into a drawing for a $20 gift card. You collected those surveys over a period of time. What were your initial findings?
I don't have any initial findings yet.
Okay.
So one of the I guess, techniques for epidemiology is I didn't want to start looking at the data too soon. I was waiting until the study was where I had the most amount of data that I could before I start looking at the data. There is always a risk with doing statistical analysis that you keep playing with the data until you find what you want. And so I didn't want to keep playing with the data too much. So over the summer, in June, I'll be looking at the analysis of this data and getting out results for what this what the results turn out to be. So again, I'm looking for the idea of not only what moms are doing, but who's helping them make those decisions and how they're coming to those decisions. And that information then can be used in future studies to hopefully fund some future grants to look at providing different support systems and mechanisms for moms to do what works best for them.
Okay, so even though the incentive period has ended for those surveys, you still want information, though.
Yes, absolutely. Moms are welcome to continue to fill out the survey. It's available online. I also have paper copies that I can send to moms if they don't, and providers as well, if they don't have access or don't want to do it online. And I'll keep continually collect data until probably until August. I do have to continue to pay for the online survey, and my funds will run out. And the paper copies I'll send out until I run out of them. And moms are always welcome to contact me. I've been very blessed to have quite a few moms and providers contact me about the study and share their stories with me. That kind of data is certainly more anecdotal, and it's more qualitative, but it is certainly useful to me, the contacts that I'm being able to make through these moms and providers contacting me has been I'm grateful for it, and it's just immeasurably helpful to future studies and developing a network to continue this work up here.
You mentioned the funding a couple of times. Who is funding this?
This project is funded by what's called an REF grant from Michigan Tech University and Portage Health Foundation. And future studies, I can apply for grants all over the place, but this is a project within Michigan Tech to help develop preliminary data to apply for these bigger grants for, say, different foundations or NIH.
How would you characterize the response that you've received so far?
It's been amazing. Like I said, the moms that have contacted me to tell me their stories, provide additional information that wasn't in the survey to give me additional ideas of things that are affecting their decisions about how to care for their babies it's just been immeasurably helpful. The providers, I'm still in the process of trying to get information out. One of the difficulties with rural health is trying to figure out who all these providers are. A lot of the systems, the medical systems and the health systems, do have their providers online, and that's been really quite helpful. But a lot of the volunteer positions or things like peer counselors have been a little harder to find, and it's been kind of word of mouth to get that out. That being said, the word of mouth has been amazing to me. What people are willing to share and spread within their networks has been very, very helpful. And I've gotten, surprisingly to me, I had three siblings who went to Michigan Tech, and they're all engineers. And I was a little surprised that as from an engineering university, how interested and helpful the university has been in this research, and a lot of support that I've had from the university.
Earlier you were talking about how these type of studies not being done here, this data not being available from here. I can actually share a little bit of that kind of professional frustration, just from coming from the Detroit area up here and working in the news business down in the Detroit area. If you want the statistics on just about anything, you can find it. Well, you just go out on the internet and it's all up there. And I believed coming up here that I would be able to do the same, that there would be unemployment statistics, there'd be health statistics, there'd be all this stuff. And it just doesn't exist.
Right. There's quite a bit of information on pregnancy and breastfeeding. The CDC runs a program called PRAMS, which is a Pregnancy Risk Assessment Management System, I think is what it stands for. And that is based off of states collecting the data. They contact women who have had, based through birth certificates are how they find the women. And so it's a population survey across the U.S. Michigan does participate in that, but again, it's population-based. And so they sample the women based on where they live. We're only 3% of the population of the state up here in the UP, so only 3% of those surveys are done among women up here in the UP. And so you cannot make any kind of estimates, whereas you can with, like you said, Detroit. You can get just specifics about Detroit or statewide that really do make sense in the Lower Peninsula. But there's so few women that are surveyed up here that even the statewide data really doesn't explain what's going on up here. We may find out that it's very similar to what's going on statewide, but I have a feeling that we're going to find that it's different, and it's different in different areas. So even when you look within the Western UP versus, say, Chippewa County, those may be differences there, but even within the Western UP Health District, Baraga County may be very different than Ontonagon. Certainly they have different exposures to medical personnel between those areas. The hospitals are in different areas. So I think we'll find that county to county there are major differences. And certainly there may be differences between the UP and the Lower Peninsula. But hopefully I'll have that data this summer to be able to say one way or another for sure on that.
Well, since we can't delve into some of the results or of the surveys or some of the different stories, let's can we talk a little bit about just the general viewpoint on breastfeeding as a practice from women here in the Upper Peninsula. Is it different than anywhere else?
Well, that's really hard to explain. And again, we'll get that data with the we'll get that information with the data that's coming out. I've had women from all different, and again, these are through emails that I've received from women, all different experiences. So some that had very kind of what I would say discouraging situations, either whether that's due to families that are discouraging the moms from breastfeeding, or the hospital that they may have delivered at maybe didn't have staff that was able to help them with their particular problem, or maybe there's just that lack of somebody in the community or a community program to provide that support. That is similar to the things that we see nationwide. Again, that's anecdotal evidence that I have right now. It's not from these surveys. But that is what usually happens in terms of breastfeeding with moms across the UP, that we do find there are certain demographic characteristics that are related to breastfeeding. Younger moms are less likely to breastfeed. And women who don't have the community support or the support from work, that certainly affects their ability to breastfeed and their desire to breastfeed, as well as what happens in the hospital when that baby is born at the very start. And so nationwide, we do have initiatives that are supported by the American Association for Pediatrics and CDC, as well as health departments, state and local health departments, to promote these practices that we know promote breastfeeding. But I'm hoping to understand across the UP how much of that is actually done. In larger hospitals, I know certainly from my experience when I delivered my children, we were in an urban area. We had lactation consultants that were in the hospital. Our pediatrician was a lactation consultant. I had access to classes ahead of time. My research group that was I was working in was doing maternal and child health, so it was certainly okay for me to bring my baby to work and nurse in my office. I certainly had a lot of those support systems in place, but even in some other urban areas, people don't. And so we just really have to understand what's going on up here in the UP and how much of each one of those factors is affecting women here. There's the possibility, being new to the area, I'm still learning how many people stay here and have family nearby. There's some evidence that if your mother breastfed and or your sisters do or close friends do, that social network is really helpful. And so if you live in an area where your mom is nearby, where you have sisters and a grandmother nearby, that support system may be really helpful. In urban areas, sometimes that disappears because you're more mobile. I don't know if that's going to show up or not. Will be helpful if it does. Yeah.
I wonder how much just economics plays a part into it too. If in a an area that's perhaps just overall poor, if breastfeeding is more prevalent because people don't have the options to pay for a different, for formula or for, any sort of alternative, or if it's less because there's maybe more programs providing those mothers to be able, through like WIC and stuff to be able to get formula. It'd be interesting. And just the questions that pop in my mind.
Yes. And certainly WIC has always struggled. That is one of the characteristics that has always been associated, or at least in the last 10 years and probably a little bit longer, of being associated with lower breastfeeding weights are being a WIC recipient. And WIC does amazing jobs to try and promote breastfeeding. And they're very aware of that issue and are doing everything they can in order to provide support for moms that are breastfeeding, but WIC is certainly something that's associated with lower rates of breastfeeding. One of the other things that can come up is certainly your work situation. So there's a huge drop-off in breastfeeding rates at 2 months, and that's when a lot of women have to go back to work. And if you're going back to work at in a company that doesn't provide the type of resources you need, if there's no refrigerator for you to put your breast milk, if there's no place for you to pump where you feel comfortable, if you don't have breaks when you need them in order to pump, then that can make it very hard to continue breastfeeding. So a lot of women will wean when they go back to work. And you can imagine some of the jobs that people who aren't paid as well, the jobs that they're getting, those are the companies that might not be providing what they're supposed to. The Affordable Care Act has certainly helped with that, with requiring companies to provide that information and those resources to those women. But certainly smaller companies don't have to follow those rules, and some don't. Some do. Some smaller companies are certainly wonderful that they see their employees as family and provide for their employees to meet their needs, but some don't. And so those situations, there's some research that has also shown that moms may never start breastfeeding if they know they're going to have to quit when they go back to work. And so they never start in the first place. And again, if you have 6 weeks off and that's all you have off, or you have 8 weeks off, you may not start because it's really hard to stop sometimes. And you might not want to deal with the issues of having to stop.
We're being more than 15 minutes into this interview. This is a question I probably should have asked all the way going back to the beginning, which is simply, why bother? I mean, breastfeeding is, you know, it can be inconvenient for sure. And it's not an option that everybody chooses. So, you know, does it make sense to breastfeed?
It does. There are health benefits for both the baby and the mom, and those have been proven over and over again. If you go to CDC's website, it explains it all very well. But yes, there's benefits to the mother. There's reduced rates of certain kinds of cancer with the mothers. There's always the kind of argument about that you'll lose weight faster, which that's kind of a question, and some do and some don't. I certainly had the experience where it didn't really help with weight loss, but some mothers do. I don't know that that's necessarily a good reason to breastfeed. And there are benefits to the baby. Formula is pretty good these days, but in terms of the nutrients, it is not breast milk, and breast milk is the most natural thing. That being said, if you are on certain medications or things, there can be things in your breast milk that are harmful. There are certainly cases where people should not be breastfeeding, and that's something that they need to talk about with their medical provider to find out for sure whether that's something that's safe for them to be doing or not. But it does provide all the nutrients that your baby needs. In the areas where I've worked, and certainly I don't think we have this issue here in the UP as much, but if you have difficulty keeping bottles clean, or you don't have clean water, then breast milk is certainly a lot safer than formula made with contaminated water or with bottles that aren't necessarily clean. And I would say, to the convenience, if everything's working well and you're comfortable with it, it's a lot more convenient, in my opinion, to breastfeed, because I don't have to juggle with bottles and mixing things and everything. Everything's right there on tap, as you could say. And so it can be convenient, but it also can be difficult.
I do remember with my first job, my wife used a breast pump and was boiling those those bottles and making sure you're keeping up on that. Second child was breastfed. I don't know for how long. I don't know if it was for the first year or if it was less than that. I can't remember. It was 20 years ago. So, you know, don't quite remember exactly what. If she was here, she'd tell you, because, you know, she's the one that was up at the break of dawn every day, you know, sitting in the rocker doing it. So has the perception or attitudes from the public towards women who are breastfeeding? You mentioned about workplaces providing, you know, that opportunity. Also, you know, we've seen a push to reduce the stigma, I guess, of like women breastfeeding in public at a restaurant, those type of things. There's a funny internet meme out there that when it pops up, you only see the top half and you see a woman breastfeeding and the caption is, "Oh, I can't believe this. That is so terrible." You scroll down, is who would put their sandals on the table, and she's got her sandals there. You know, so it has nothing to do with the woman breastfeeding. So, and locally here, there is a UP breastfeeding support group that operates. I don't know if it's weekly or monthly, but, you know, it's certainly, you know, trying to encourage women to breastfeed.
Yes.
So are we seeing, you know, in a culture sense, you know, a encouragement for women to, you know, go ahead and do this. It's a natural process and you should be allowed to do it anywhere.
Yes, there is definitely a movement more towards that. So I would say probably in the 70s, there was a shift towards that that formula feeding was better, just kind of the idea of, oh, that's not something that people would do to breastfeed. And we certainly have a movement more towards breastfeeding. There's CDC's website, if you just put in breastfeeding into the website, has phenomenal information that they have there. And they have surveys over the years that they've done to look at just that, at public attitudes towards breastfeeding. And that is definitely improving. It's still about the 60% of people who say they feel comfortable, I can't remember exactly the wording, but something to the effect of whether they feel comfortable if a woman's breastfeeding in a public place. So that's up from in the 40s and 50s, 10 years ago, so it's definitely improving, but there's still quite a bit of room for improvement. I think people who have known someone who breastfed probably has a little better attitude or more positive attitude towards it than someone maybe who hasn't been around it much. And I think some of that's due to the fear factor. I mean, for the most part, women are not stripping down in order to feed their baby. It is, you are doing it privately. You don't necessarily have to be in a separate room to do it, but you're not flashing everybody as best you can. And so the idea that it's not these women running around topless as long as people understand that, then it's not so much a negative connotation towards it. And certainly, I think it also depends on where it is. People certainly have perspectives that at a park where children are running around or something like that is perfectly fine. Maybe not in a different setting, that they might be a little more concerned about it in a different setting. There's certainly room, like I said, for improvement on that. And just getting the idea out there that it is something that's normal. You're just feeding your baby. It's, realistically no different than if you're feeding your baby from a bottle.
Well, the conversation can be difficult just by the nature of it. Like, I am a guy, so what business do I, as a man, have talking about a woman's body or her issues and this being, something that's health related for both her and the baby. But yet we want, it's better for all of us to be talking about this, to, reduce the taboo of, breastfeeding, whether it's in public or at work and getting us all involved.
Yes, absolutely. Personally. The conversation needs to be had again, so people don't have misconceptions about what it really is or what's being done. And my question back to any man would be, if you're sitting at trying to enjoy dinner at a restaurant, would you prefer to have a baby who's screaming because they're hungry or a baby that has their dinner and then falls asleep? Or on a plane or anything. I have breastfed both of my babies on a plane and it's not necessarily a comfortable situation. I'm in coach. It's not a lot of space. But my child is then not screaming. They fall asleep before we ever even take off, and they're quiet, and you can have a comfortable plane ride without having some screaming child sitting next to you.
So at this point here, your major push for gathering surveys has concluded. You're going into the summer, and you're going to be breaking these things down. How will that process go?
So I have theories ahead of time. So as part of developing the study, I have theoretical models for what I think is associated, the factors that I think are associated here in the UP with moms initiating breastfeed, so ever having breastfed their child, and for the duration that they breastfeed. So recommendations from CDC, American Association for Pediatrics, and World Health Organization are that you should exclusively feed your baby breast milk for the first 6 months and continue. The American organizations recommend continue feeding breast milk with complementary foods up to a year, or at least to a year. World Health Organization recommends it for a little bit longer. And so I have two different models that look at initiation of breastfeeding and duration of breastfeeding. And I have what my theories are of what the characteristics are that are related to that. So some of it may be factors like age or the community that you live in, and some of them are going to be factors more like is your partner supportive of you breastfeeding? Did you have help in the hospital? Those kinds of factors, and whether that's related to initiation of breastfeeding and then duration of breastfeeding. And so I have statistical models that will then look at that and tell me basically basically, if you, so for example, and again, I have no data yet. So if, for example, you have a supportive partner, does that mean that you're 30% more likely to start breastfeeding than someone who has an unsupportive partner? And the information that we gain from that will then be able to tell us, okay, so having a, maybe having a supportive partner is really, really important. Maybe something else like age is a little bit important, but not as important. And so that will help guide the next step of this, of the research, which is then to develop some programs that we can then put into practice in the community and test how well those programs work to do the same thing, to both improve initiation of breastfeeding and duration of breastfeeding. And so if we find that the supportive partner is really, really important, then maybe it's not that we need to improve mother support groups, because like you said, here in Western, in the Western UP, we do have support groups that are available. Maybe that's not what's important. Maybe that's already there. But maybe we need to have some dad support groups and have them get together and talk about what they're feeling and how they're handling it and what they can do to help their wife or their partner and their baby. We don't know yet. That's what we're going to work towards doing.
All right. Well, Kelly, I really appreciate it. It was a great conversation.
Thank you very much.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.